Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the world famous Talk Black to Me radio podcast. I am your brother Ja Ali, and on this episode, I am joined with the host of Welcome to My Chair podcast, Brittany Geese. Yeah, you know her, you've heard her, you know what I'm saying? You know she's an awesome lady. Listen, she's got a lot to say, she got a lot of views, she's got a lot of content. So let's get right on to it. The biggest, boldest, blackest show on your radio starts right now. Brittany.
Hey.
How are you?
I am fabulous. It's a fabulous day. So, yeah, thank you for having me on the show.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, just plug us in and plug your show and all of that good stuff. And just give us a little basic, background or what do you want the people to know?
So, basically, my show pretty much stems from love. All people are welcome. I've been through everything you can imagine besides loss of children. I've been through rape. My husband was killed in Afghanistan. I'm recovering alcoholic. I've been homeless. But I've also been a business owner. I've been through all these things. I've been through abuse. I've been all through all these things. I've been through rejection and abandonment. And my biggest thing is showing love to everyone. And I'm a hairstylist and a barber. So people come to my chair, and I'm sure, I don't know if you ever go to a barber shop, there's some gold in these conversations. So I bring that to my chair. We laugh, we cry, we get real, we get brutal, we get honest. And you just can't pay money for that. It's just people being real. And I just really feel like having a non-judgmental heart and showing love is something this world needs so much. So that is kind of where my show goes, and I'm very honored to be on yours for sure.
So basically your show is, I guess, a trip to the beauty salon or the barbershop, but just, I guess, through a virtual reality portion.
Yeah, exactly. So people sit down, like, because I work in both worlds. I work with men of all colors, all races, at the barbershop, and I also work at a beauty salon. So I work with women, and I get to hear both sides of the story, all races, all colors, what's going on in their life with the issues today, with, you know, the riots, with the coronavirus. I hear it all. I know about their husbands. I know about the affairs. I know about their brat kit. Now I'm joking, but I know about, I know about everything, and I get to kind of be their psychiatrist for a moment. So it's a lot of fun, and they can be real with me because you would never know now, but I've been at the bottom of the totem pole. I know how it feels to be there. So, but it's just interesting, when you asked me to come on, because this is right on point. So this is cool.
Now it's amazing because in the Black community, mm-hmm. the barbershop has for a long time, and I'm going to venture to say, even in the beauty salon, therapy for, I know the barbershop, you know, it was out to get away and have that moment to talk, have those candid conversations, where men just got together and, you know, if you have ever seen the movie, any of the sequels of Barbershop.
Oh yeah.
that's real deal. That's real deal for us.
It's good.
Yeah. So I totally get it. And I totally understand. And it's definitely needed. And I appreciate you for bringing that platform, to something in form of a podcast, because, you know, like I say, we need that therapy. People need that therapy. And it's ironic that you should bring up the pandemic or the lockdown or the coronavirus, because that has really thrown everything out of whack. Mm-hmm. And the whole social distancing. So let's speak on that for a little bit. How has that affected you in any way, or has it at all?
Well, being that, yeah, great question. So, being that I am in recovery, one of the things that is kind of unanimous amongst people who've dealt with addiction is we like to self-isolate. So, if anything, this is kind of like our ideal situation because we want to get away from the world and to our booze or our drugs. So, but being that I'm sober and that I'm working a strong program, and which meaning I'm helping people, I'm staying sober, I'm, you know, all that stuff. For me, it wasn't that bad, but I really had to discover that having a lot of people have like habits. They wake up in the morning, they have their coffee, they get ready for work, they get home, they get the kids food, blah, blah, blah. I had to realize that that is not a safe place for me to be. I have to be ready for anything and everything. So this was a good time for me just to spiritually get fit. And I started doing some hippie yoga stuff, all that, you know, whatever. And doing a little studying on the barber world, getting my fades good and all that. So
Look at you talking about a fade. Okay.
listen, I could fade anything. So yeah, so it was good. It was really hard to see the fear, though. I mean, if I'm getting real, like to see the fear paralyze people, and you know, with fear, there's only two different routes to go. You either go to sadness or you go to anger, and that
Neither good.
is neither is good. And there's only one way out of it, which is love. And this is Tony Robbins actually talks about this, but it's really interesting. So it's I love to psychoanalyze things. It's part of my job as a barber hairdresser.
I get it. I
So,
get it.
yeah. So, yeah.
So, okay. Well, one of the things that you also you when we were doing the pre-show, you're socially active as far as, I mean, you've seen some of the activity in the streets as far as the protest and you know, some of the activities that are going on between behind some of the recent activities that have just taken the news. Care to speak on some of those experiences?
Yeah, let's do it. So, at first, it spiked my interest first. I had a client in my chair, and she has a biracial son. And I've being from a Caucasian family, you know, I only know so much from a Southern Caucasian family. And you know, you're taught what you're taught. So, but being a black sheep, I want to know what's going on. And she was telling me, Brittany, you know, we have to have the sex talk with our children. Pardon me, but like, you know, you have the birds and the bees talk with your kids. Well, my son is biracial. And I have to have the talk about how you're going to get blamed for everything. When groups get in trouble, just know when you're hanging out with the white kids, or excuse me, the Caucasian kids, forgive me, I'm not up to PC standards, but
No,
so I don't
I'm
want
not.
to.
This is not even that type of show.
All right, right on. So, because I'm not like that. So anyway, so she was just saying, I had to have the talk with my son about you're going to get blamed for everything. And she told me a story where that exactly happened to him. A group of kids got in trouble, white kids, you know, you have white kids, yellow, black, white, purple, everybody. And he was the one blamed because he was partially African American. And it spiked something in me that I just was like, that is crazy. I don't understand it. So then the riots happened. And so the other day, I got this thing on my phone about Juneteenth in Atlanta. So I decided to go downtown and go check it out. I don't know. Something in me was like, go. And so I got down there, and I've never been part of a protest. That's just not kind of my thing. But I got down there and I just started walking, and they were chanting, doing the it would just it's giving me goosebumps now, just like, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, and just stuff like that. And I was just feeling the hurt and feeling the movement that needed to change. Like, I was feeling just, you know, I didn't know what to say because I was just like, I was just going with it. I was just like, there needs to be a change. This is beautiful, because I'm hearing, you know, in my household, unfortunately, like, you know, this is, you know, everybody has hurt, everybody's lives matter. And going and experiencing this proves what I felt true. It's like, you know what? Yeah, everybody's life matters. But today, Black lives matter. Because you know what? Like, there is a white privilege. And you know, I'll admit it today, I'm part of it. Because I don't have to, you know, and this is going to sound really effed up. But like, if I'm out with a group, I've never had to worry about being pinpointed because of my color. And unfortunately, this community does, and this stuff is happening, and feeling that hurt and that pain and that, I mean, everybody was so sweet. People talk about the riots and crap. That's not what I saw. That's not what I saw at all. Mm. What I saw was beauty. What I saw was a revolution, a movement, a renaissance rising, just beauty in the African-American culture. Everybody coming together, and they were friendly and nice, and there was no, it didn't matter that I was white marching with them. They just were like, we welcome you and let's change. Let's start. It's time for a change. And it was beautiful.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because I think that I did during our messaging that something to the effect of, due to what was the terminology that I use? Black people really look at you for your realness, not so much as your color.
Right. You know,
that's basically the general consensus when it comes to dealing with Black people.
White people need to hear that, because I don't think that I got a message from a racist white dude last night. I have like almost 4,000 followers. So I got some dude on there saw me downtown protesting, and he goes, I can't believe you were down there. And I was like, so what? All right, let's hear you out, dude. Because this is, you know, in the podcast world, I just want to, let's hear your, come on, come with it.
Right.
Let's hear it. And it was like, he was like, you know, all lives matter. This is ridiculous. It was just, I won't even, it was filthy. And it was just like, there's so much hate. And I just was like, listen. And I was like, God bless you, friend. And I was like, but you know what? What's happening is beautiful. And I was like, the hate in your voice is why this needs to happen. And I'm like, I am proud that I was there, and I was honored to be there and get to witness this. So it's just, it's sickening. It really is.
Well, that answers my next question, which was going to be, do you think that the whole racism thing, is it innate? Is it taught? Or is it just inbred? And I mean, you know, and before you answer that, just a little bit about myself. I grew up in an area where it was just basically mainly family, right?
Right.
You know, small town down south, family land. And ultimately, all I saw was my family, church, whatever. And I didn't encounter my first Caucasian until I went to kindergarten. And all I had known was, watch out for those folks.
Yeah, watch out.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I went, so my first day of kindergarten, a dude ran up to me, and he grabbed me by my hand and pulled me to come play with him, you know, while my mother was talking to the teacher. Okay. I kind of looked like, hey, you ain't gonna stop this guy. Hey, what? Okay. He wants to play. Cause I had never encountered, you know, at 5 years old, I had never encountered anybody that wasn't Black.
Right.
But I'm supposed to watch out for these folks. You know what I'm saying? So, my question to you is, do you believe, do you think, what's your feeling? Do you think that it's taught behavior, learned behavior, or obviously you got an opinion on that one?
It's funny you bring this up, because the past 6 months I've been doing a lot of research on cognitive behaviors and beliefs and all that. And it's very, very interesting, because yes, I do believe it's what you're taught. It's a two-part answer. So part of it, and the short of it, is what we are raised by our parents. So for females, Freud kind of had it right. So for females, the dad's you know, a strong influence. And for males, it's the whatever, and, or for, you know, opposite, the mother. But we are taught something as a child. We are not born into seeing color. We are not born into believing in a religion. We are not born into all these things. Mm-hmm. We just know we need food. We need our diapers changed. And we like to laugh and have fun.
Right.
So we are taught, like I was taught, I was raised on the other end of things, around all white people in the South. My dad's family was British, though, so I was raised, thank God, with that side of thinking that was ridiculous. But my mother's side, unfortunately, had an incident, and I'll make this quick, where my great-grandmother's sister was killed by a black man and was raped. And so my great-grandfather and the town took it upon themselves to do some vigilante justice. And yeah, so I know this is going to probably get some people boiled up, but this is what happened. And so I was raised to have the opposite. I had a girlfriend of mine when I was in kindergarten that time, who was my best friend, and she was black. And I was not allowed to go to her house because she had a brother possibly, and he may try to rape me or something.
Right.
And I was just like, that's bull crap. I did not understand at that age. I didn't comprehend it. And thank God I had enough sense in me, like whatever you guys believe in, I had something in me that still, even up till now, said that's not right. But so I do believe it's that, but I also believe, I believe beliefs that you're taught as a child is what you're carried with you. But I also believe once you hit adulthood, you have a responsibility. I believe that you can be taught many things are okay. You can see your parents being alcoholics and drunks and abusive people, but you have a choice, a right and wrong inside of you when you become older, like I did, to go, okay, that's not right. That's not okay. And so you can change that belief. You don't have to make that a pattern in your life. So that's where I feel like there is a responsibility. You can't, but so it's so I'm one of those, I guess, anomalies where I was raised a certain way, but I said, no, that's not, that doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And, but some people are raised that way. Like that gentleman who messaged me last night, he probably has stupid flags everywhere, rebel flags or whatever they're called. And he was raised in the dirty South. So, you know, this and that. I saw a girl at the Black Lives Matter thing shouting White Lives Matter. And I just looked at her. It was, oh, she was by herself too. I was just like, girl, you got some balls. And not good balls, like gangrene balls. Like these, sorry. But
You're good.
But it hurt me for the people around me hearing that. And I was just like, this was the little girl inside of me that I am glad I got to remember that said, no, that's not right. I don't see color. So yeah, beliefs do matter to answer your question. What you're taught does define you, whether it's religion, race, or anything. That, like I was raised believing in hell, and I've had to recondition that.
I think we all have had to have that realization with ourselves at some point.
Right, because you have that fear instilled in you. Anyway, I won't go into all that, but it's just one of those things. You have to have an accountability for yourself and your own beliefs, so you don't get off that easy.
Right. Okay. When we come back, we're going to take a short break right here. When we come back, I want to get into the meat and potatoes of this episode, per se, and talk about the premiere or the preview, the trailer of the upcoming movie Cracker, and get your opinions on that. So if you just hold tight, we'll be right back.
One, we'll be right back. I know you had a long day, and now you wanna talk back. And here with Jah Ali, we speaking nothing but facts.
Talk back to me now.
Quick question: have you been considering investing and not really sure how to get started? Or are you a seasoned investor and would like to eliminate all those high and unnecessary commission and brokerage fees? Well, listen, it doesn't matter if you're totally new to the investment game or if you've been investing for years. Robinhood is the answer, and the time is now. Robinhood has one of the biggest collections of investment opportunities in all categories, and Robinhood just opened the option for fractional shares. That's right. You don't have to purchase whole shares all at once, which shouldn't be a problem because most of Robinhood shares sell for less than $5. Look, I know you're probably driving right now. Keep your hands on the wheel when it's safe to do so. I put a link in the show notes. Click it. It takes you right to the Robinhood, purchase your stock, and you receive a free stock purchase. They're going to throw you one just for opening up an account with Robinhood. They're going to throw you a free stock. You may get Apple, Google, you may get Coca-Cola, you may get any big name stock. All you got to do is just make your first purchase. And I'm telling you, the time is now. By signing up through that link, you can make a change for yourself, for your family, for your future. Get started. Get invested. You've worked hard for your money. Shouldn't your money start to work hard for you? Robinhood is the way to make that happen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and I am sitting here with, reintroduce yourself for the people if you don't mind.
I am Brittany Giese. Yeah. So hopefully one day when I get married, it'll be an easier last name to pronounce.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Now, okay. Before the break, we were just about to go into the discussion that we really, really wanted to have. There's a new movie that's set to come out sometime soon in the near future, I believe, this summer or somewhere. Don't quote me on that one. Cracker. And if you have not seen, had a chance to view the trailer, slide on over to the Talk Black to Me podcast Facebook page, and I have it posted there. I'd like to hear the listeners' opinions on that as well. It's so ultimately, I guess it's a reversal of the whole situation with racial relations back in the day. The whites are the slaves now, the blacks are the masters, they're in control, da 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 da. You've seen it, you had a chance to view it. I was nervous even asking you to come on and discuss it with me. I mean, I really was. I mean, it's so going on right now. I'm kind of iffy about my feelings about it. How do you feel? And let's converse on that just for a little bit. Where you at?
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, my first reaction was like, cool. Like this is cool. Then it was like, I had many, many feelings. It was like an onion. It was like layered. It was like, this is cool. Right. This is different. This is an artist's point of view of pain and hurt getting retranslated. And then it was like self-reflection, like, wow, this is what Black people have been through, and imagining putting myself through those shoes. But then it was also wondering the intention behind the show of what the creators were wanting to get out of it. That did pop in my mind, because my whole message is love and be the change that you wish to see. So that I had many, many thoughts, but there was so much pain and so much heartache that I saw that I was stunned. I rewatched it a few times just to really take it in. It's a very strong message. I mean, talking about because I've been raped a few times. So talking about how, like, you raped our women, so we're, how do you feel about us raping yours? And just like, it's very poetic. And it was like, I had to sit on it. But yeah.
You can tell I'm still sorting through my feelings about it, and I'm trying to find a good place to land when it comes to this particular situation. But what I don't get is, what I question is the timing. Why now? With everything that's going on, why now? Is this going to make a further divide between the races? Is it going to spark some dialogue, or is it going to spark some more animosity?
Yeah, so that was my concern, because see, like for me, I'm pretty spiritual. And when I say spiritual, not religious, so like I go right. All based on love and a love reaction. So what I see happening here, and I go by based on patterns of time. So what I see is kind of like, if from a Caucasian family, like knowing about this, they're probably not even going to watch it. I'll be honest with you. Like if it's some of my family members, they're not even going to watch it. They're just going to go, that's just, you know, they need to get over the past and this and that and all that BS. But they're going to watch it, like part of it, and it's going to cause more anger, more judgmentalness to back up their side. It's almost like a Democrat-Republican kind of fight going on right now. But in the race world of all people matter, Black Lives Matter, blah, 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 you know, it's like this battle. And I do believe by... you know, I don't know if the title changed or something, or there was some type of like introduction that like, just imagine, like, I feel like if Oprah was involved, it would be more soft. Like, just imagine if this were you and you had to go through this, then you are putting yourselves in a different community's shoes. Whereas, but I feel like a lot of the extreme people on the other side who aren't walking in the rallies and aren't doing those things are going to see this as more of a divide. Like, so, you know, or a threat, like you got, so this is what, you know, and we don't want that. The people who want peace don't want that threat or divide. But I also believe there does need to be a dynamic change. And I don't know if, 100% this is the way to go about it. But I also can say that I have enough wisdom to keep my mouth shut when it comes to this, because I'm not Black and this is not my battle, but it is my battle as humanity to share love and be there for your community, however you need me. That's all I can do.
Well, I can't help but to go back and think about the two stories of the individuals that you spoke about, that you saw at the rally. The one female that was there that you were saying was screaming White Lives Matter at a Black Lives Matter rally. And the other guy that you spoke about that left you the messages that was saying that he couldn't believe that you were there. These individuals, they're not going anywhere. These individuals, unfortunately, are procreating. These individuals, unfortunately, are teaching.
That's true.
This stuff. Right. And just like the lady was there at the protest, there's going to be always those individuals that are just going to come into the realm of Black activity, and not for good reason. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Case an example, case in point, the Wendy's. Here in Atlanta, and I rarely talk about things that are local on this show, but because the local activity has become national news, you can't ignore it. The Wendy's that was set on fire for the first couple of days, right? I mean, it was rioters, protesters set down, they burned the Wendy's down, and it's on fire, you know, all that came with it, until the video was posted. Ultimately, by just someone on Instagram and posted, where it was a white female that was seen pouring the gas, or, you know, igniter fluid or whatever it was to start the fire, own the Wendy's. Now the whole conversation is changing. So we still have that element of individuals amongst us that will want to go and see something like that just to have talking points, just have acting points, points that they can move on in a negative direction. That's why I question the timing of something like this, because right. we're tearing down, ultimately we're pissing a lot of people off right now.
Good.
Not saying that pissing people off. I've never given a damn about pissing people off.
Yeah.
Right. But I do care about, I am concerned about when is the appropriate time to piss people off.
Right. I believe timing's wisdom. Like,
right.
Right. So what you're saying is so right. There was a speaker there I told you about pre-show who, I mean, he was referencing MLK. I mean, just referencing that I Had a Dream speech, and he was pastor at the Black church. That's what he called it, downtown Victory, I believe it is, downtown Atlanta. And he goes, you know what? Okay. People labeled it a Black church. This is not a Black church. This is an everybody church. And he goes, but this is the thing, guys. And he was like, you know what? He's like, we can stand up here all day on this podium telling you that our people are in pain, that there needs to be a change. The Wendy's, just everything, people not being able to breathe, just people getting killed by the police officers, all these things happening, racism. Mm-hmm. I can scream here all day. Yeah, there can be a movement and people can protest. But if 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, there isn't a change in our hearts towards each other, it doesn't matter. It's just going to happen again. Another, you know, 1960s, it happened. Then it was a pattern. Mm-hmm. It's happening now. And then, you know, 60 years down the road, it's going to happen again. Like, we need to make a change in our hearts for each other. But there are going to be, I call it like, it's almost like a terroristic mindset. You have the extremist. And this is the thing with opinions. It is almost impossible. This is why I have a mantra, never argue. Because if someone has an opinion, it's almost impossible to change someone's opinion because it comes from their core beliefs. But I do know this, there is a power in love. So if you can go downtown like these people I saw did, these beautiful people just protested with love, you are making a difference because it's contagious. It doesn't have to be violent. It doesn't have to be any of these things. It could be loving, and those sick people who are going to be sick, because that's their side of the road, which is none of my business, but because I can't change them, I can change me though, is I'm just going to keep showing love. But I believe you're so right. Timing is everything. I think, you know, but it's, I don't know. I just don't know when a good time for this would be, if maybe a different introduction to it would be great. Like, because it's actually really cool. Like, it's a really unique concept to, like, really get the white people, to the Caucasian community, to know, like, listen, this is why it's still relevant. Because I hear all the time from Caucasian people, like, that, you know, these people were never slaves. You know, they don't know how to be a slave. My family's from England. They were slaves. We were all slaves. I'm just like, dude, shut up. You know? Right. It's like, right. After hearing my clients say that her son, who's biracial, has to deal with it today in 2020, deals with it today. And it's like, y'all don't know. Y'all don't know. I don't know. Hell, I don't know. You know, but I'm learning.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I do believe that timing is everything. You know, I mean, because we're doing a lot. It's a great time to be alive. You know, this is a great moment. This is a great space that we're in right now. I just want us to be a little bit more conscious of how we move in it, because we can either grow into something better, or we can be reduced to exactly what the forces behind the scenes really want.
We don't
want
to be like them. That's the thing.
Right.
Don't become the thing that you hate. Don't become the thing that you wish would change. You know, don't become them. Be better than them. You know, not, and I know that sounds kind of shitty, but be be the change you wish to see. Be that strong MLK figure. Be that, I mean, I truly believe God's put on my heart, and I'm, I know I'm getting a little like, woo here, but he's,
no, go ahead.
Listen, I'm going to go here. It's been put in my heart that what's going to happen, I'm going to give you a little prophecy here, but what's going to happen is there's going to be another rise and the Black community like we've never seen. We are going to see the Beyonce coming out. We're going to see the rappers coming out, the poets, the Renaissance community, the voices we've never heard, radio shows, people's voices. We're going to see the Black community is so talented. I'm sorry. I've not heard people sing like Black people can sing. And even beyond that, like, we are going to see MLK's rise that are 10 times even more impressive than he was. And I know that may sound bad, but I mean, this is with pain comes change. And I believe this is y'all's moment. This is going to happen. But like, do it like MLK did, because he had it right. And look, I mean, I listened to just one of his speeches and I'm in tears. It's beautiful.
Can you wear these shoes?
Okay. I appreciate that. And I hope that, you know, your prophecy comes true.
I'm sorry. That sounds so crazy.
And I accept that. Say again?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I know that sounds pretty bold to say that, but whatever.
No. I mean, you know, listen, your opinion is valid. And I mean, and it's definitely warranted and accepted. I mean, I mean, you had me like mouth drop, like, wow, okay, cool, I'm ready for it, you know. I'm pretty sure, you know, 90% of our listeners, you know, are gonna want to see that as well. Dang, it's not very often that I'm speechless, but you got me kind of speechless right now.
That's what he said. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm telling you, because so basically with, this is going to get a little nerdy here, but with quantum physics and quantum time, scientists have proven that life is a big pattern. Things happen, if we look in history, over and over and repeat themselves based on humans' behavior. And this is another pattern, unfortunately, because men have not changed. And they think they have. So I'm talking to the white community right now. No, you have not. Because if you had changed, this would not be effing happening right now. So let me be real. But it is happening. So it is time for this beautiful community of Black people to come out and sing your hearts off, speak, get on that podium and use that. I mean, y'all, I call it kingdom speaking. You guys can talk. And I got that, the goosebumps and that cool feeling all over my body. I'm like, damn, like make a difference. Bring out that revolution. Kirk Franklin has a song called "Do You Want a Revolution?" And it's about this. It's about this very thing, and it is spot on. So cool.
Well, that time hopefully is coming, and that time hopefully is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you know, I'm not looking forward to you know any of the negativity that can come from an antagonist that was as an opportunity to further divide. I'm not, but I do want to caution everyone to do aware that, you know, they're going to try to infiltrate. I mean, history has proven that as well. So
100%. And that's the sad part is, like, you know, we think back like the water hoses and all the things from the past. I mean, and in reality, if this is true, what scientists say and the theories that history repeats itself, then yes, there will be pain. There will be a type of divide and civil war type deal. I mean, that's the unfortunate part, but unfortunately it takes that to create that reflection in the mirror of change. And I know that sounds kind of sick, but that's the truth. Look at the past. It takes a great pain to cause a great revolution.
Exactly. I definitely agree. I was watching a documentary, and I'm probably going to get off subject here for a minute. I was watching a documentary of the Black Panthers earlier, this morning, as a matter of fact. And we went into the story of Huey P. Newton and all this. Even in them telling the story of the movement at that point, which we're ultimately seeing again, just on a larger scale, we're seeing that same energy. Mm-hmm. They cannot speak about the good that was done behind the movement without defaming the name of the person that was ultimately responsible for that movement. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Yeah, a little something that I just want to throw out there.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's so true. Like, I know where I'm very active. I have a group that a ministry I've started on the side. I got a lot of things. I'm one of these multitasking freaks. Like,
that makes two of us.
Yeah. I love it. I love to stay busy. My mind has to stay stimulated. So, I have like a little side gig, and it's all about breaking down. Like, there's also a big change movement and, you know, in the race community, but also in the church community, because people have had enough of that shit too. Me and my my best friend, we've started a movement, and that is called Jesus Without Baggage. And it's like, it is for anyone. It's for you, you're Muslim, you're whatever you are. We don't care. We love you. You come hang out with us. We have transgender, we have everything. So it's like, we don't care. We just want to love you. People, I mean, and I think we can all agree, every person on this earth, that's what we need, some love. Just love.
Speak on that, because that's even news to me. I didn't even know that you were involved.
Well, I didn't know if it would like fit in with the segment, but yeah, I have me and my best friend, Eddie, we really, God's put us in each other's lives, and we both were raised in an upbringing where it was like fire and brimstone. You know, you cuss, you're banging in the back seat, you die after in a car wreck, if you don't repent, you're going to hell. And it's almost like a form of child abuse. And we've also been segregated from gay people. We've been segregated from just all these different things based on literal translations from scripture or whatever. And that is not the God that I worship. I'm sorry. The God that I worship loves everyone. And so we said, there's time. It needs to be a revolution in the church too. No more walls. Like, you talked about walls. Let's break down these walls. Let's break down the titles, because, you know, Jesus isn't a title. Titles is pride. Jesus is the truth. And that's my higher power. Whatever you believe, I don't care. I love you. And that's, I believe, the attitude. If we could all come together in all things like that, I don't care if you want to dress as a woman or if you're in love with a horse. I love you. And you want to go get some tea? Cool. You want to come get your fade? Whatever. Let's do it.
Wow, that's cool. I mean, because that's really the space that I reside in. Because what I don't care for, and I think the world has gone way, way too far with, is labels. Mm-hmm. People get caught up into labels.
It's pride.
And, you know, labels and titles and, oh yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm Pentecostal, or I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm, oh no, you're Muslim. Okay, well, Sunni or Shiite, or, you know, or Orthodox or unorthodox, or, you know, I mean, you can take it on and on and on. I mean, you can say one thing, and back to that Father Divide.
It is. And I say, let's start a red movement. There's no more color. There's no more religion. There's no more anything. We're all red because we all have blood inside of us and we bleed and we're all hurting and we all just want love. So we start a red movement. You know what I mean? If there's only, if we have to be prideful and have a title on something, because that's even in relationships, you put a title. Are you going to be my husband? You going to be my man? Wow. Well, I mean, right. That puts some pressure on your dude, because right. We have that core belief we were raised in. Well, that means I have to have that 5K ring ready for you, that canary diamond. You know, it's like those, you know, stereotypes and things. It's like stop. Titles are just, it's a pride thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we need titles for certain things, you know, don't get me wrong. I like to feel some ego pride. Hey, it fills me up sometimes, but
I mean, sure, if I had a doctorate degree, of course I would want you to refer to me as Dr. Jolly. I mean, yeah. You know, I earned it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, I come out as a prophet one day. I'm going to be like, yeah, you call me Prophetess Brittany. No, I'm joking. No, there's a funny story in the Bible. Elisha or whatever, he was this bald white dude or whatever he was. I don't know, Middle Eastern, whatever in that time. And he, these kids were making fun of him, going, "Hey, baldy bald man." And he goes, "I curse you in the name of the Lord." And he sent these bears out of the woods, two she bears, and tore these little kids into pieces. And I was like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm like, there's some funny stories in this book, I'm telling you. But yeah, that was a prophet. But we don't do that anymore, guys. We don't send the bears. But
No, we don't send the bears. We got other things we send nowadays.
No, we send love. But no, but but anyways, I got off topic there, but I'm a jokester. But yeah, this is just such a great topic. I mean, and coming from a Caucasian female raised in a Southern background, do I have my stereotypes that were instilled in me as a child? What you just said to me is you guys want me to be honest. And I'm going to be real with you today that yes, I have some horrible stereotypes instilled into my subconscious from my family and like certain things that, but I'm very self-aware. I will notice a feeling like, okay, if I see someone with pants down to their knees or whatever, I always was told like he needs to pull his pants up or well, he's probably in a gang. You know, that's what I was told ever since I was a child. So that has been instilled in me. But now, since I've been in rehabs and detoxes, these are like everyone's my people. So now, thank God, I've grown out of that. But those things were instilled in me. So I'm still having to recondition bad thinking. So for any white person out there to say that they don't have some racist inkling in them, it's bullshit. I'm just going to be real. It's bullshit. And I'll say today, I got a lot of work to do now. And I'm not a racist person. Okay. There's this one actor, God, he's British. I think, I don't know. He's so hot, but then no, I mean, I'm not, getting off topic. He's really hot, but, I'm just saying I'm not racist, but I have some bad thinking that I'm having to reprogram. And we need to be honest. We just need to be honest and stop saying, "Hey, I'm with you guys. I'm not racist." It's like, no, you got some shit thinking. You need to go sit down, put pen to paper, and work on, like you do.
Brittany, I really appreciate your honesty and your candor. It's totally refreshing. I won't sit here and lie to you. You've got me blown away.
Oh, okay. Oh, God, you didn't go the other way. Like, you cracker.
Oh, well, maybe if you had a pissed me off during the conversation, but you didn't.
You caught me on a good day. No, I'm good.
Excellent. Brittany Giese?
Yeah, that's me.
Right on. Host of the...
Welcome to My Chair on Anchor.
Welcome to My Chair podcast. Aaron Weekly.
Right now I'm just starting out, so I'm trying to weekly at least put one or two out. So just I'll get some interesting people in my chair, and then I'm now getting some really good authors and book writers just approaching me. Some actresses and stuff that are going to be on my show that I'm just establishing my base. So yeah, every week there's going to be a new surprise and something really effed up you'll probably hear. So I don't sugarcoat things.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, I've heard all of her episodes so far. I have not been disappointed in not one. This is good quality content, thought-provoking content, and you know, I'll school you before I fool you. I'm not going to tell you anything wrong. check her out. check her out. Check her out. Welcome to My Chair Podcast. You can find her definitely on Anchor and just Google, I would assume, Welcome to My Chair Podcast.
Yeah, it's all over the place on okay. many of the different the different platforms. And yeah, and I love your show, and you can talk black to me anytime. So
listen, it has been a pleasure to have you grace my show with your presence.
Oh, thank you.
Definitely this conversation can go on forever, but you know, we try to keep it close to somewhere around an hour because we don't want to bore people with my raspy voice.
Oh, get out of here. No, no.
So yeah, so listen, if you would like to come back at any point, or I mean, even I would jump over on your show if you feel so inclined. We got to do this again. We got to follow this conversation and try to close up some of these gaps between some of all of this divisiveness and fight through some of that and make the world a better place. And I love your idea of just going through life, living in a loving space.
Right. I mean, I say it's time to get raw and real, like get the questions that the black community has for white people and vice versa, like get those honest questions out there. Well, this is what I was raised believing. Is this true? This is what I was like, let's get honest with each other, because that's the starting ground. And I believe like this is a beautiful thing. I would love to be back on. I'd love to have you on my show. And I'm cussed like a sailor, and I'd love to have you on.
I'm surprised you didn't do any of that on this episode. I mean, I really would have been. It would have been so fun.
Oh,
I mean,
sorry. Yeah, I mean, I was on good behavior. Don't worry about it. Well, hey, now that I know, you've unleashed, you've called the bears. Yeah.
Brittany, it's been a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, like I always say, just go ahead and email us. Email me at talkblacktome. At mail.com. That's talkblacktome@mail.com. Also to follow me on the social media sites, Google Talk Black to Me. We'll be right there. Most active on Facebook, Talk Black to Me podcast, Talk Black to Me on Facebook. Definitely got some good things coming down the pipe. This is our fourth or fifth season. I do not really know right now, but hey, this is about 2 years worth of work right here. So keep loving, keep living. We'll talk to you later. We out. Peace.